In all likelihood, you know the music of Marco Benevento. Even if you don't know his name, he certainly played with just about everyone, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But he has a new solo album out. It's called The Story of Fred Short, named for the Native American man who once lived on his land in upstate New York. The album is the follow-up to the 2014 release Swift, which found Marco singing for the first time and honing his psych rock and late-night dance party sensibilities. The Story of Fred Short is a continuation of that exploration. He is joining us this morning to talk about the new album as well as his gig at BSP Lounge in Kingston on April 15th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Marco Benevento to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
So, as you know, we use these marketing words, and the continuation of this exploration, which means you sing again.
Yeah, I wrote lyrics to a song of mine that came out on Tiger Face, which was two records ago, and I had the singer from Rubble Bucket, Kalmia, sing it. And that opened up the door for me to hearing my songs with words and with a vocalist. Prior to that, I put out four records that were instrumental records. And when I heard my music with the singer, I was inspired to do it again. So Swift, our previous record, I decided to sing the songs myself. And it was my first step into singing. This time around, it's my second time around, and I feel a little more comfortable, confident with it. So It sort of balances out our night of heavy jamming and instrumental music, which I like, and the audience has been drawn to the singing as well too.
Was there a thought that okay, maybe at some point I will get around to the singing, or did you just think, well, I'm not a singer, so I won't do that?
I thought B for a while. I'm not a singer. I shouldn't do that. And I went to Berklee College of Music and got deep into jazz and studied instrumental music heavily, and never really focused on singing at all. In high school, I did singing with my bands, but definitely wasn't really attracted to it until, maybe 5 years ago, just kind of collaborating with different people and having to sing backup on some songs. One time we recreated The Last Waltz with the band's final performance, and somebody asked me to do the Dr. John bit, so I sang Such a Night. And I really enjoyed doing it, and just ever since then I've been slowly sort of asked to sing more and more, and I think it was just not really liking my own voice, and finally getting used to it. I just now I'm in it now. I can't stop.
So it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. Yeah, I feel more comfortable singing now. Yeah.
So are there things that you would have done before, i.e., music that you just would have played, that you now think, oh, well, we can sing to this. We can do a little bit more with this.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. I mean, even though we made instrumental records in the past, there is a vocal and lyrical sensibility. I
sure.
don't know if you can, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you understand that, but yeah, you know, it's the melodies that are there in instrumental music, sort of evoke lyrics, evoke words, even still to me, and I have thought maybe I should go back and maybe add some lyrics to some of my other tunes, but I don't know if I'm going to do that. But, you know, all the writing is very melodic and very easy to get. And the previous records, again, like almost sound like songs without words, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they're not too experimental. They're very melodic, even though there is no singing. But
do you ever worry about it seems that when anybody, just in life, is doing one thing and then decides to try another thing, that maybe you know, the plate that was spinning over here is suddenly falling off the little pole. So then you worry about, oh, okay, am I not spending enough time with the music because I'm worried about the singing?
Right.
So in other words, have you found that balance that you like?
When I first started singing, Charlie Hunter, my friend, who's an incredible guitar player,
yes.
He was there, and he said, you know, Marco, you know how it's taken you 30 years now to learn how to play the piano? It's going to take you another 30 years to learn how to sing. And I thought, oh, geez, you know, that's true. It is going to take a long time for me to develop a new instrument. But I was definitely up for the challenge, and in no way is it distracting from the, you know, piano practicings and the songwriting styles. If anything, it helps round out the whole musical situation, which I really enjoy lately.
So let us talk a little bit about the new album, The Story of Fred Short. So as we mentioned, this is a person who, a Native American person who lived on the land that you live on now.
Yeah, I live on Fred Short Road.
Right.
And down in Woodstock. And or in Saugerties, and I've always wondered about who the man was, and the story with Fred is that he traveled from New Mexico over to the Catskills, and I collect pianos, and I bought a piano on Craigslist, and I went to get it, and this old man said that this piano belonged to Fred Short. And I told him I lived on Fred Short Road, and he said this was actually in their family. And I took it home, and that night I improvised music for an hour and a half, and I recorded it, and I consolidated it down to 30 minutes, and it became Side B, which is the story of Fred Short on this particular record.
Yes.
And it's this whole sort of journey of Fred Short's travels over to the Catskills and you know what he's done, and you know, it's a very imaginative story.
The idea of once you have this, of how you find out more about him, and then how does that influence the music?
Well, you know, it's a slow process, but I think you know it's a lot of the name of my recording studio is Fred Short, and when I'm in this little room, I'm where all this music was recorded. I was sort of pondering, his journeys here, and I basically just had fun with a lot of Casio drum machines and synthesizers, and went off into outer space and kind of wrote all this music, thinking about Fred Short and how we got here.
And that. Does that become a theme, or is it's a very loose structure that you can operate under?
It's a loose structure that we can operate under. And live, when we do these songs, we've been performing Side B in its entirety live. And when we do that, I kind of get transformed, and I think about the road I live on and the studio that I create music in, and all the friends around that I've have helped me write a lot of music and record all this music as well.
Yeah. Do you feel that you are when you're out and you're doing this that everything is sort of coming together? I mean, you just mentioned this, you know, it took you 30 years to play, and then mm-hmm. now another 30 to sing. But it seems like you're finding yourself musically.
Absolutely. There's so many musicians in the Catskill area. I've collaborated with so many people: Amy Helm, John Medeski, and I've played with Elizabeth and Dan Mitchell and Chris Maxwell, and Tracy Bonham lives down there, or had a house down there for a while, and I'm constantly inspired by all the local musicians in the area, and I find that now maybe this happens every record, but I feel like this is like a new starting point for me, and where I'm finally figuring out the balance of engaging the audience with singing, and and also engaging the audience with jamming and improvisation on the piano. So yeah, I mean, I feel like collaborating with all these musicians along the way here, and you know, being I was in Brooklyn for 10 years and playing around the city for that long. I mean, just I'm constantly evolving, but I definitely feel like I'm at a new beginning right now with my music, with singing and writing lyrics and whatnot. Which is a whole nother process, the lyric writing element, which is, you know, when you start singing, you do have to think about that as well. So learning how to write lyrics is a new challenge for me too, but I do enjoy that a lot.
Let me admit something to you. I'm listening to every word you're saying because that's what I'm supposed to do as a talk show host. I've been doing a show here at WAMC for 22 years. I can't stop looking at your sweatshirt. you have the coolest pigeon sweatshirt I've ever seen. And what am I doing? I'm listening to you. I promise you, Marco, I'm listening to you. But I'm also looking up. Well, where can I find a pigeon sweatshirt? It's the coolest damn thing I've ever seen.
You know what's amazing? They even embroidered the poop on the left shoulder.
Oh, look
here.
At that. it's awesome.
Well, down in Port Chester, New York, there's an amazing venue called the Capitol Theater, which I've played at many times.
Yeah.
And there was this little skate shop right around the corner, and I walked right by it, and there was this hoodie right in the window. And I said to myself, that's a really cool hoodie. I kept on walking, and then I walked back in and said, I would like to buy that hoodie. And ever since, every time I wear this, as someone, everybody compliments
it. It's just such a great, because it's a good-looking pigeon.
It's a darn good-looking pigeon.
Yeah, it's a really good-looking pigeon. And for some reason, and I don't know, maybe I'm reading much too much into this, I feel you can tell a little something about somebody who wears a pigeon sweatshirt.
Well, you know, I do love birds. At the house, we have... we have chickens, and we recently acquired a peacock. So,
oh, nice!
Yeah.
Oh, very. They're very grand, aren't they? So the obvious question is, well, let's talk about the gig. So you got the gig at BSP, and what can we expect from that?
I'll be playing there with my band. Michaela Davis is opening up for us, playing solo harp, and we'll be playing a lot of the songs from the new record. We're playing in Boston before that, and we're playing in New York City after that on Saturday. But, you know, our show is very upbeat. You know, there's piano, bass, and drums, but I tour around with my own piano. That's a sort of a hot-rodded, modified piano that has guitar pedals on it and guitar pickups on it.
It looks great. It looks very cool. Maybe not as cool as a pigeon, but very cool.
Again, almost as cool as a pigeon hoodie. But, you know, it's a very electric show, even though the instruments are piano, bass, and drums. Like I mentioned, the piano's hot-rodded with the guitar pedals and sent through a guitar amp. And I'm also triggering Casio drum loops as well as like some other loops that we play along with, backing tracks, I guess you could say. And you know, people are on their feet dancing, and it's a very upbeat sort of 2-hour show. And after the show, I get to spin records. I'm a big vinyl fan, and I've collected a bunch along the way, and I have some 45s, and I'm going to spin a bunch of James Brown and a bunch of dance.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm looking forward to my first DJ gig after that as well.
Oh, that's your first gig?
I've never spun. I mean, I spin records in the green room after the show because we do travel with our own record player, I will say. And we do like to get down after the show. But we're going to officially do it, you know, with the crowd in the audience.
Do you, this is a technical question, but when you have something that you just. A piano, if you will, that you just described. The more you add to it, the more that you've got going on. Is that the more that can go wrong?
Absolutely, and I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Knock on wood. But we just did this West Coast tour. We did 10 days from San Diego to Seattle. I just got home yesterday.
So it travels well.
It travels well. We throw it in the van and. You know, I didn't have one problem. Actually, the problem I have with it is that I decided to get it tuned in San Diego, and the guy didn't do that great of a job, and it was kind of out of tune, so I had to kind of adjust it myself. But realistically, all the electronics that are in there are, you know, it's just simple, basic stuff, so it's not, it's all fixable.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I'm amazed that everything's gone pretty smoothly so far.
That's very cool. And you're also, I also want to mention that you're going to be at Mountain Jam at 100.
Yeah, we'll be at Mountain Jam. We were there last year, and... I've been playing at that festival, I guess, for the last 10 years with various different bands. But Last year we played with my band, and this year we're going to play with my band as well, but we're going to do a bunch of David Bowie tunes.
Oh, great. Nice tribute.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. June 2nd through the 5th, and you can find out more at mountainjam.com. The new album is The Story of Fred Short, and the gig is at BSP Lounge in Kingston, New York on Friday the 15th. Marco Benevento, I thank you very much for being with us. You can also, by the way, I just want to give out the, it's bspkingston.com if you want to find out more information about the gig. Thanks very much for being with us. Best of luck with the new album. It's great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
We'll play a little bit, but it's great stuff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Best to the pigeon, and we'll hopefully we'll see you very soon.
Yeah, hope so.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.